Welcome to this week's Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup, which is brought to you by Nebraska Soybean Farmers and their checkoff. I'm Bryce Duska. This week, filling in for Susan Littlefield. This week, we are digesting a WASI report released on Friday. We'll get to that with our two guests coming up here in a moment. But first, we bring you this message from the Nebraska Soybean Board.
It may be small, but this little bean fuels a lot of power. It powers a food industry as a top source of protein. It's a fuel that powers diesel engines with fewer emissions. It powers a state economy and bottom lines. And it powers the rest of the world as a top Nebraska export. Yeah, it may be small, but we're finding more ways for this little bean to power Nebraska.
And welcome back to the Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup. Joining us on the screen this week and on your radio dial is Heather Ramsey with the ARC Group, as well as Darren Fessler with Lakefront Futures and Options. Thank you both for joining us. As we begin, we're going to summarize what happened, in particular in the corn and soybean trade. So Heather, let's begin with you, taking a look back to Monday over the past 5 days. What's been happening in the corn markets?
Well, I think the shocking thing about corn this week is we were able to separate ourselves from wheat. That's pretty important. Early on this week, we had some news. There was some downward movement on global kind of like export FOB premiums on wheat that really drug wheat lower. And somehow corn managed to kind of hold its own. And what we also saw was some cancellations on wheat that, again, put pressure on that market, did put a little bit of pressure on corn. But again, funds were kind of looking into this upcoming this report on Friday here, thinking, I don't know if I want to be this short going into this report. So we saw some liquidation and some cleaning up of some of those short positions by the funds. That put some upward momentum in it. We also managed to close above our 20-day moving average on corn here Thursday and then as well Friday. You know, these are all positive kind of chart signs that funds are looking for as triggers to maybe adjust some of that positioning. And then we close the week, obviously, Friday here with a WASDE report. Nothing out of the ordinary from a U.S. standpoint. Nothing really out of the ordinary from a production standpoint in like the Southern Hemisphere. The one bright spot is we did see a larger increase to overall global imports. And a lot of that comes from China, but there's some other key countries in there that did up kind of their expected purchasing needs on corn. And so that's a win for corn on a global stage. And that's definitely something we can all, you know, be thankful to see in a WASDE report.
As we look at the charts for both corn and soybeans, Heather, it's been lower, lower, lower. So it's nice to see some positivity there in the corn market. We'll have Darren Fessler jump into the conversation now as we summarize what's been happening on the soybean front. Darren, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, today was the first day that the May beans actually got above the 20-day EMA since early December. Nice positive change there. I think you look at the overall structure of the bean complex. Brazil is getting a lot of their harvest, getting close to getting wrapped up there. We're moving out of our export window from the U.S. standpoint. So really, it's going to come down to the strength of these Chinese markets, the strength of their demand, really to get back to this, you know, higher trade here. But I really think that if you look at the corn, beans, and wheat, though, it's just been an oversold condition. I mean, funds have been really pounding this short because of due to poor fundamentals. But at the end of the day, if you get some of these systematic traders to get some triggers, hey, let's cover here, hey, that's all we need in this environment. Is the fundamental picture changing in a massive way in these markets? No. But just have the systematic, the algo type of traders come in here and say, hey, if we get above the 20, get above the 50, hey, we got to continue to cover this. That's those opportunities that we need for those producers that missed out some opportunities earlier, you know, either last summer, last fall, or even earlier this year.
And as I mentioned, Darren, nice to see that here at the end of the week. We'll have Heather Ramsey join us back here on the screen as we talk about the WASDE report, World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. You take a look at the headline coming from that, and we're kind of looking at the global stage. Darren, let's stay with you. Your thoughts going into the WASDE, what did you think we would see, and what did we see come out there on Friday morning?
Yeah, I wasn't anticipating a whole lot of movement here. I mean, they don't really have a reason to move here, and they got big planting intentions number at the end of the month. Look for definitely a different balance sheet come April and May. But I wasn't expecting much. I think the post-reaction price action was going to be much more important than actually the report itself here today. And then you've seen a reversal had a new lows made in wheat earlier today. We reversed off those lows. Corn liked that strength. Corn followed suit. And then it was off to the races on beans here today. And so I think really when you look at today's WASD, it was about the global ending stocks, both corn, beans, wheat, all moving lower here. They didn't really move the needle on South American numbers. I mean, we'll have CONAB, which is the equivalent of USDA in Brazil. We'll have them next week on the 2nd or the 12th. We'll see what they have to really say. I think those numbers are a little bit more important than what USDA said today. But again, this was a technical balance here. We'll see if this continues on. Follow through price tag is obviously very, very important here in the week ahead.
Heather, you talked about the WASDE report and looking at the projections when it comes to imports and exports. What were you watching?
Well, I think in general, I agree with Darren where this is not a report that we usually expect to see many changes at all. I think that the change in those import numbers, especially for China, I think the trade sort of said in their mind that like these should be changing. I don't know that anyone had a very good estimate on it. That number was pretty much in line with kind of what the average guesses were going to be, a little bit stronger, which that piggybacks into what Darren's talking about with global stocks being lower. And that truly was eaten away by those changes in imports. And I had a customer today actually be like, what does that mean? I said, hey, think about it. When prices are cheap, what do? You buy things. And so we've seen prices come down for 3 months straight. And this has been a perfect buying opportunity. I think I know right now the numbers look pretty weak for China in their January, February buying. It's definitely low. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Darren, but I think I saw that this was like a new low for January, Feb, imports for China. Is that right?
Yeah, January, February imports to China are down almost 9% so far this year, year over year. So what they have imported has been a bulk of Brazilian origin so far. And when we look at the U.S. market versus Brazil, I mean, we're still the U.S. market, the FOB price, and or even the CRF to China, we're still not all that competitive. So we need to get more business here to drum up this balance sheet a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's at the end of the day, China's still pretty weak on imports.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were weak after the first year. They were, they've been super aggressive out of Brazil, like Darren says. And I do have the mindset of that at this point in time, I just want global demand to be high. I think a high global demand benefits all parties. It raises all tides, so to speak. I would prefer to see some purchases come out of the U.S. and then them stick with it, them actually take delivery of these purchases. But at the same time, any chance we get to see numbers, to see balance sheets that show us a strong global demand that China's recovering and getting back into it, that other countries, India recovering and getting back in, those kinds of things, that's very helpful to all of us in the grain market. So as much as I selfishly want it to be U.S. purchases, like I'll take any purchases at this point. That all that demand is going to help everyone. I'd like to see, some increased numbers here, obviously from China, just in China purchases as a whole, picking up will benefit everybody going forward. And that leads to hopefully some continued fundamental and technical corrections on the charts that then, to Darren's point earlier too, I mean, there's plenty of farmers out there that we need to take some price action at some point here. I mean, bills are about to start rolling again here as we get into planting.
Nobody likes those bills, that's for sure. Heather, follow-up question to that, and Darren, feel free to chime in here kind of on the back end too. When we talk about China, there's some different narratives out there about kind of a struggling economy, people paying close attention to that in China, but then also the silent trade war that's going on between the Chinese and those of us here in the United States. Are both a factor in your mind, or is there one playing more into the other?
Yeah, I definitely think it is. I think when you look at the Chinese market in particular, and you look at, not to be political here, but the market is going to obviously look at the poll numbers. They're thinking Trump may win this thing, right? So what Trump had said, we're going to import or slap a 60% tariff on you. I think that was some of the down drop in what we've seen in February as well. Not only the down drop in February, you had producers selling. You have taxes at the end of the month in February that a lot of producers pay. You had March 1st cash rents, March 15th cash rents all come and due. So now you look at the producer standpoint here. If a lot of that cash flow needs are met and we don't get a big rally, let's say this month, well, they're not probably going to move in April and May when they're planting. So now you're looking at the June, July, August timeframe to be selling here. So the morale of this market is maybe slowly but surely getting a little bit better, but the morale of the Chinese market has been. I mean, equity markets are up over 10%. Chinese bans a little bit of short selling of their stocks. So again, the morale is the most important thing. A strong China is good for the U.S. markets, even though we may not get all of that business. I mean, they're going to go to Brazil. That's just how it is for right now. But the morale of it. And so it, really at the end of the day is if even if Brazil is getting a lot of the business, it comes down to what our acres are going to be and what the weather is going to be. If anyone's seen the drought map across Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Missouri, it looks pretty dry in those areas. And I have a lot of customers across the area. Hey, we need some rain here. So again, I mean, I know it's March. Iowa and Illinois have good dirt, but again, it needs to rain. I mean, the weather's a big key factor here going forward in 24, I think.
Okay, we end kind of the week here. Heather Green on the screen, some positivity here. We come back on Sunday night. Things will open up for the overnight trade. What are you expecting in the next week, Heather?
You know, I think next week we probably look and, see if we can hold those chart-based indicators too. I think that's going to be really important going forward. Like I mentioned earlier, corn closed above the 20-day moving average Thursday and Friday now. Darren mentioned it. Soybeans finally above that 20-day moving average on Friday. The trade has already hinted about getting above the 20-day is really important. Well, the next anchor is going to be that 50-day moving average. They're going to look for that. So if this thing keeps running, we're going to run into probably resistance problems once we start to approach those moving averages, especially the 50-day moving average. It's very psychological right now. Like, how aggressive do people want to buy back these short positions and create new? We did see open interest increasing this week on corn as we were rallying up. So that's a positive indicator. But it's just, we're kind of on the front end, the fringes, I would say, on knowing whether this is a longer term correction or not. I think from a, you know, a hedge management, risk management standpoint, if we continue to get follow through, those are numbers that we need to be, you know, very cognizant of and be taking action. You know, everyone's got to do something here. Very few clients are completely cleaned up at this point in time. And so paying attention to where those resistance levels is and being able to knock things out, is going to be very beneficial through the next couple weeks and into the next month here.
Appreciate you both joining us. That's Darren Fessler, Lakefront Futures and Options, with Heather Ramsey with the ARC Group, our two guests on this week's Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup.